The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I'm still using, and I know I need to quit because I'm pregnant, but I can't stop. I'm homeless, I'm sleeping in sheds, I'm hiding under beds for days. I have just I was insane. And I just cried out to God, and I literally screamed at the top of my lungs. I said, God, help me! That was it.
Jenny Weaver was born addicted to heroin, but when her life fell apart, she heard the sound of freedom. Next.
Welcome you. I'm James Robinson Benny, and I'm thrilled to have you a part of life today. We have a beautiful woman that has just got the glory of God on her, and a book titled The Sound of Freedom. And the interesting thing is that she is able to communicate the music that has eternal value with a guitar and singing and really communicate a message. But think about this. She was born an addict, born a drug addict. You say, how in the world can a baby be born an addict? Because her mother was. And it really took some divine intervention, or she might not be sitting anywhere right now. And then the work of God in her life for her to be where she is now is a miracle. And she calls the book The Sound of Freedom, how to bring the God of breakthrough into your toughest struggles. Would you welcome Jenny Weaver to life today? Jenny, we're glad to have you. So glad to have you. I think that they, you know, the introduction is just startling to imagine a baby being born addicted. All right, tell us the circumstances. Tell us what that could have been and tell us what happened.
Yeah, my parents met in Philadelphia, and my father was the drug supplier. And so my mom was severely addicted to heroin. And so my birth, instead of it being a joyous occasion, was one that was, it was tragic. I was going through severe withdrawals, like a heroin baby would. And my mother was going through withdrawals. And she cried out to the Lord. And she said that God gave her a sign. And she immediately stopped the withdrawals. I stopped withdrawing. She gave her life to Christ, and she served him ever since that day. Wow. So I was brought up in a Christian home because of that experience.
But that's an absolute miracle. Why in the world did someone being, let's say, in the lifestyle she was in and addicted, why would she cry out to God? What in the world? Do you have any idea what motivated her to even think about that possibility?
You know what? Actually, she was brought up in a Catholic home, but she says in the room, there was a song playing on the radio, and it was actually by the Carpenters. And it was the song, Why Do Birds Suddenly Appear? And she just began to say, you know, God, if you're real, give me a sign and help me. Get me free from this. Help my baby.
Wow.
And she said a bird came to the window and began to fly around the window. Why do birds suddenly appear every time that you're near? Mm. And she said that was the sign. Wow. The presence of God filled the room, and she gave her life right there.
Wow. So there are signs oftentimes.
Yes.
That went in total harmony with exactly what she was saying and feeling in the song that she was listening. God just illustrated it for her. Do you think that the fact that there was that song and that manifestation could have had anything to do with the anointing that ultimately came on you to where song is still a big part of your whole life?
I never even connected the two till you just said that.
There were a lot of miracles happening
because
right there.
She experienced the sound of freedom.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, and God sent the bird.
Just had a moment.
Well, what happened from there? Because you said you grew up in a Christian home. Mm-hmm. What about your dad? Did he
come to... dad eventually got saved, and they began to be in ministry. ministry in church, but it took a really drastic toll. And so what I would see growing up was ministry on Sunday morning. All of us children, I'm the second oldest of 8 children. And so I would see ministry on Sunday morning, and then I would see abuse, neglect, you know, just talking down. I rarely remember hearing, I love you. And so because my mother was being abused, it was hard for her to show us love. And so that's what I saw. And that's where the rebellion came in against the church. It started early. I didn't want to have anything to do with the church.
How old were you then when that rebellion started?
About 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me how it played out, because you struggled for quite a while. What did that struggle look like?
So what was going on is, you know, of course, I had that in my home. I was being abused. We were being beat severely to the point of, like, you know, just our, you know, blood. We were being beat until we
bled. Was it a rage that just came up?
Yes, it was.
Made no sense.
Made no sense. You know, you could spill something and you would just be, you know, just hurting for days. And so because of that, and then I would go to school, and I was being bullied as well. So what the devil was doing was he was trying to set me up to receive rejection and abandonment as my identity so that I would never walk out my full purpose. And so I began to go home and to self-cut, which a lot of people, a lot of young people nowadays are actually struggling with. And so I would begin to cut my wrist to relieve some sort of pain. And it was like I was being lured to do it, this overwhelming darkness. That opened the door for me to get into witchcraft. And I studied it. I practiced it. I set out to do it. I mean, I was practicing the religion of Wiccan. And through all of that, that opened up the door for, like you said earlier, drug addiction. And so I began to experiment with all kinds of drugs, found myself kicked out of my home at 17, and that's when I ended up homeless on the streets, a cutting drug addict witch. And then I began to experiment with all kinds of love. So men were treating me bad. I thought, well, you know what? I'm just gonna live an alternative lifestyle. And I began to take on that identity. And so very far from my upbringing of a Christian home, I was out in the world and I swore God off. Mm-hmm. I cursed at God and said, I don't want anything to do with you. And so I lived a life of a drug addict for 9 years.
Wow. Mercy.
Wow. 9 years, yeah.
Okay, so we've gone from a miracle that even kept you alive.
Mm-hmm.
Now exposure to religion and maybe some devotion that had some. Did you see anything genuine during that time frame that you saw something that did look like maybe Jesus might be real in some way, or was just everything a total turnoff?
I actually experienced the Lord as a young girl. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 6 years old. I remember that experience. And then I remember being hit by a car, and my bike was pretty much deformed. I laid in the road. A car hit me straight on at 7 years old. Mm. And then when I went to sleep that night, I said, Mom, I want to, you know, meet Jesus. Mm. And my mom genuinely, you know, she loved the Lord. You couldn't tell her that God was not real. And she said, if you pray, the Lord will come to you. Mm. And we prayed. And that night I encountered Jesus. So those things I remembered.
They were back in your subconscious mind. Okay. So you go through this process. Now you basically become a wreck. All right. How do we go? We're talking about the sound of freedom. Where does something start changing, and what led to the change?
About the end of the 9 years, I ended up pregnant with my daughter now, who's 9 years old. And so I'm still using, and I know I need to quit because I'm pregnant, but I can't stop. I'm homeless. I'm sleeping in sheds. I'm hiding under beds for days. I have just I was insane. I was actually hallucinating. And so I remember not eating for 5 days, newly pregnant, not sleeping. So I was just, you know, I was hallucinating. And I got into an argument and I just cried out to God. I went outside, it was raining, and I just cried out to God. 3 words is all I could pray, because I didn't have any eloquent things to say. I didn't have any special things. I just cried out to God, and I literally screamed at the top of my lungs. I said, God, help me! That was it. Mm. No goosebumps, no lightning, didn't see anything but the peace of God. And then just a few days later, I was rescued out of that situation. I was placed, actually, it wasn't a good thing, people would say. I was placed in a jail cell. And I was happy because I knew I was going to be able to get something to eat, mm-hmm. and I knew I was going to be able to get a shower and things like that. So
I'm sorry, I get emotional and be safe in a way.
Paul and
be
Silas safe. Sang in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
You broke and all we the chains sang. Off and threw the doors open. Okay.
We sang in jail
you
as
did.
Well. Yes, we did.
Who sang with you? Who's the we?
Well, I would invite girls into this little tiny cell in jail, and we
so
they wouldn't have a Bible study.
Ministry started.
Yes,
okay,
and people got saved.
When you came out of jail, awesome. Did you come out a new person? Did you
I
come
did.
Out with freedom beyond the bars? You had a spiritual freedom that took
I
place?
I came out with a level of freedom, but I still had to go through the process of restoration and deliverance, because although I wasn't using drugs, the root of the problem was still there, and the Lord began to reveal who I was as a daughter, which I never understood, because mm-hmm. I didn't have my father in my life until later, which I just love that whole story. And God restored even that relationship and began to teach me what it was to be a daughter.
Okay, so you ended up having ministry of song, because you have your guitar over here. And so you just what? Start kind of sharing the truth about God with songs that rise up in your spirit, and then you communicate those, and you find people are listening and their lives are being impacted?
Yes. Yeah. Well, so what I would do is I went home. I'm newly saved. I have a brand new baby. And I would go in my room, close the door, get the guitar, and I would begin to sing like I was taught. So I would sing, you know, I exalt these songs that we know. And then all of a sudden, the presence of God would fill the room, and I would hear what I call the new song, which the Bible talks about, or like David would sing, the song of the Lord. So the Lord would begin to sing over me, which is in the Bible. He sings over us. Mm-hmm. And I would hear the Father's song. I've always loved you. You are my daughter. And I would be going, I've never heard this before.
Yeah.
So I began to do research and found out that actually it's a thing. People are actually doing it. So.
Would you like to hear her sing one of the songs that God put in her heart? Would you do that? Can you do that?
I find that people love Psalm 91. So I'll just freestyle Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. This is for he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you. No harm will befall you. No disaster will come near you. He will charge his angels to watch over you. And my Bible says that they encamp around you. For a thing, he leads me in paths of righteousness, only for his name's sake. And he anoints my head with oil. Oh, Father, anoint my head, let my cup run over, and surely goodness, surely mercy, surely it's gonna follow me all the days of my life. I decree and I declare that surely mercy and surely his goodness is gonna follow you wherever you go.
And you live in proof of that. Let me, you know, we had... Keep your guitar there,
okay.
Because you may or may not need it, but we had a nice meal together, mm-hmm. and we had Phil Robertson, who has family, right? And the Duck Dynasty crowd.
Yes.
And we had Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who was the witness on The View for a long, long time.
That's right.
And they're with us this week. But Did you feel family in there?
Yes.
Did you feel anything rising up in you about the importance of family?
Yes.
Does those kind of songs come to you?
Yes.
Did anything come to you while we were sitting around there? I'm just curious.
When I was sitting around and I was telling Tina when we walked out, I said, from the first moment that you began to speak, I felt like the Holy Spirit in the room. And actually, I was crying almost through the whole dinner. I couldn't even eat because there was this beauty, like we're all one, like you said, what Jesus prayed, let them all be one as I'm one in you. And that's what God is doing right now. In this hour, he's uniting the body of Christ, blacks, whites, young, old, that we can come together and really have the kingdom of God on earth now.
That's right.
That's the sound of freedom.
Yeah. That's the sound of freedom.
That's it.
That is the truth. His kingdom is here. There's a kingdom to come. There's a kingdom that is here. And we live with kingdom purpose. That's the only way we find the fullness of life in this life. Did you get any kind of a little phrase or something that came up that could be a phrase of a song or just?
Yeah, I mean, I just go and it just comes because
sing us a little thing about the family.
Oh, right, about the family. Let's do this. Let them be one as I am one. Father, he said, let them be one. As you and I are one, oh, let them walk together, talk together, be as one as I am one. No strife, no fighting, no division, let them be one. I want to see the one coming forward in this day and now. I want to see the one, my one church, my one body, one voice.
Amen.
One.
Amen. That's his prayer. That is the sound of freedom. Would you like to say thanks to Jenny and thanks to God for what he's done and doing in her life? Do you go and sing in churches? Do you go and minister? Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to invite you and know how to get a hold of you, what's the website they would go to?
JennyWeaverWorships.com.
All right. Yep. You got that? There it is on the screen. If you say we'd like her to come, here's the book. You can get it online. You can go to any of the online services, get in the bookstores. And I'll just tell you, you know what we're doing, Jenny, because you're aware of what we do. Right now, we're trying to feed children that without the love that we express, they won't live.
Yes.
And I tell you what, we're giving this incredible Bible study by one of my best friends, O.S. Hawkins. And the James Code, it's not named after me. This is not James's Code. This is the Bible book, the James Code. And we're sending it. But if you say, you know what, I'm going to help you feed those children. I'm going to help you put arms of love around those families in desperate need. And we're going to do it joyfully. We'll be happy to send you the Sound of Freedom if you'd like to have it. I want you to watch very, very closely. Our grandson is there with our mission team. And really, you might say that they're in the very throes of death and destruction and misery and pain that only love can heal. And those with a broken heart and hands to help are so limited unless you say, I'm going to notice the least of these and I'm going to become the miracle they desperately need. Watch. I think you're going to want to be that miracle.
During my time in ministry, I've often discovered the need is far more severe than I anticipated. So we're here in Uganda for children and people that have literally been forced out of their homes. And I know ESAC here has been able to meet some of these people, and we're here with three precious siblings. And I know you've gotten a chance to talk with them and hear their story and find out kind of what's going on.
It's kind of hard to repeat that story. I mean, this little guy just, you can see how he just cries. He's, you know, his whole world has been destroyed. Like, this family of children saw their mother and father slaughtered in front of him, killed right in front of him.
After witnessing her parents' murders, 15-year-old Joyce took her brother and sister ages 6 and 3, and fled for their lives.
They've literally spent the last 5 days trekking through the bush in this area. And let me tell you, that's a hostile bush. No food.
Today, Joyce and her siblings are safe from immediate danger, but they're faced with an insurmountable task of starting a new life without their mother and father. They need our help.
We can't change what's happened to them, but what we can do is we can honor the fact that Joyce had the power inside of her to say, I'll grab my brother and my sister and I'm gonna get them to a place of safety, and she's done that. But now we need you to turn their place of safety into a place of refuge, a place where they can receive food, and I need you to do it. Joyce needs you to do it, to give this family a second chance, to give them life.
That family is just a picture of many. And Betty, for now nearly 30 years, we've watched millions of children's lives totally transformed. Okay. And it's because viewers like you decided to make all the difference in somebody's world of pain and suffering. And you made the difference with love. Betty, it thrills us to see our grandson there, who has a beautiful little girl now, a wonderful wife in love with Jesus. And yet he really wanted to go there because he's actually been caring about it since he's a little boy, and he's been several times to the mission field. And he is literally making an appeal for that family, but it's representing many families. With 400,000 right now already organized that we found, just like these. These were coming to a place where they heard there'd be help. But they can only be help if our viewers provide the help. Otherwise, there's just concern and heartache. But you're the miracle. And our viewers have been faithful to provide that miracle of support. And right now, I'm believing they're going to do it. And we need an extra surge of support because there's been a rush to safety. But several of the national agencies saw the compassion of the missionaries and said, if you can bring in more relief workers that have a heart like you and you can get the ability to deliver it, we'll give you this much more food and you can add all of these to the feeding. And Luke said, we prayed with those workers from UNICEF and the United Nations and said, Papa, they just started crying because they could see the love of the people that will go right into hell to take heaven, to take love with them. And so we need a surge of extra help right now. We need $270,000 right now additional. And I've just been praying, God, give us 270 people who'll say, I've got $1,000 to make that happen, because we've got the 400,000 that we're feeding every week, and we're going to have a tremendous surge of support. And I'm believing God's going to grant it.
I believe that God's going to grant it, too. As I watched that family, my heart was broken. I saw all those little children. They're not jumping up and down with joy. James and I just recently went to a birthday celebration for one of our great-granddaughters. There was much joy, much celebration. Mm-hmm. I want these families to have that kind of celebration. We were celebrating a birthday. I want them to be able to celebrate a life that mm-hmm. wasn't lost because they didn't have the food and the things they needed to survive. Please join with us, and let's do that for these families.
What we're asking you to do is simply right now dial that phone number. It's always a prayer line. If your heart's broken or you need help, call for prayer. Or go online, and would you go get a bank card immediately? And would you use it like a check? Now, remember this. We need that surge of support. That's a $270,000 surge, but we didn't know the miracle could be there to make that even possible, because it's actually of such great value what's happening. But the 400,000 we've got located, we feed. Now think about this. For $30, $50, or $100, we feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. Where can you put $100 and have that kind of impact? It's going to change their lives. It's going to save their lives. And we're going to point them to the love of God that inspired you to touch them with love. Would you right now, please? You'll get that card. If you write a check, make it to life. But please call us and tell us you're putting it in the mail, because we have to know. And we have to let the missionaries know, yes, we can do it. We will do it. We have some gifts to send you to say thank you and to inspire you but you're giving the greatest gift. You're giving the gift of life. Thank you. Thank you for making that gift.
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death. With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Please consider an extra gift to help ease the suffering of innocent families who, due to tribal warfare, have had to flee their homes in South Sudan to neighboring Uganda in desperate search of food. World Food representatives have asked for our immediate assistance. That's why an additional $270,000 is urgently needed to help provide food to those who are starving. With your gift, we'll send you the James Code by O.S. Hawkins. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Passion Translation Bible. This edition ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thank you. We thank you for that sister that picked up her little siblings and took them to safety. Safety that's made possible because of your love. The James Code for any gift, the beautiful Passion Translation for those of you who will help us care for 100, the beautiful bronze. Could you possibly help us with that challenge? I hope you will. If you'd like to have Jenny's incredible story, The Sound of Freedom, you say, would you mind sending me that too? I'm going to help the kids. I'm going to help those in need. We'll be glad to do it. Thank you so much. Would you join us thanking Jenny Weaver for being a blessing to us and sharing? Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for the song. Thank you for the one you just did for us. It just happened. Thank all of you for being here. And thank you for watching Life Today and sharing life today and hopefully every day.
Tomorrow, television legend Kathy Lee Gifford and Dove Award winner Nicole C. Mullen describe the making of the film, The God Who Sees. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.